Well, good morning. Good to see you all this morning. Good to be in the Lord's house. It's always a joy to study His Word and encourage. This is such a great, great study as we think about something as important as the church. And it's troublesome to understand that there's such a small understanding, a little understanding of the doctrine of the church within church members. And so we're trying to deepen our knowledge of the doctrine of the church, ecclesiology. And before we do get started this morning, we'll go ahead and take some prayer requests and a time of prayer. Do we have any special prayer requests we need to mention this morning? Any special needs? Yes. Okay, pray for Jerry. Yes. I believe so. Yes. Anybody else? All right, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessings on this time of study and these requests. Our Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you are continuing to do in the future. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We ask you, Lord, that you would be with Jerry as he's not feeling well today. And Father, we pray that you touch him, Lord, in a special way. We pray, Lord, for Dylan as he goes through that procedure tomorrow morning. We pray, Lord, that you would give him peace and, Lord, just wrap your arms around him and Marcy tomorrow. And, Father, we pray that whatever the procedure is, Lord, exactly, Lord, we pray that that it is nothing major, that it is something that can be treated, if it is something at all. We pray for his health. And Father, we pray, Lord, as we continue our study on the doctrine of the church, Lord, I pray that we would have understanding. Lord, give us an understanding of something that is so special and precious to you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're continuing our study through the church, authored by Jeffrey Johnson, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Conway. And it is entitled The Church and Her Nature, Her Authority, Her Purpose, and Worship. And before we get started into the next session, I want to recap on what we've looked at thus far as we think about church membership and where we see glimpses of church membership in Scripture and why the importance of it. Well, there are several passages that strongly imply its existence, church membership, in the early church. For instance, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it says this, "And the Lord added to them day by day those that were being saved." Now this verse here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 indicates that salvation, obviously, was a prerequisite for being added to the church. If you're going to be added to the church, you have to be born again. You have to be saved. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it seems that someone was keeping a numerical record of those who were saved and thus joining the church. There are other places in the New Testament that show the local church as being a well-defined group. Most of you are familiar with Acts chapter 6. And there in Acts chapter 6, you have the dispute or the complaining of the Hellenistic Jews, the widows there, who felt like that they were not getting treated fairly like some other widows. And so they're complaining and they're arguing, but the apostles could not leave the ministering of the word and prayer to take care of their physical needs. And so this is where the institution, we believe, of deacons are taught in Acts chapter 6. But we see in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3 that the church in Jerusalem is told to hold elections of some kind where they are to choose 7 men from among them. 7 men from among them. That phrase, among them, suggests then a group of people that are distinct from others who are not among them. So simply put, the deacons were to be church members. They were to be chosen from a distinct group of people that was among them. And so church membership is important also because it helps define the pastor's responsibility. Church membership is important because it helps to define the pastor's responsibility. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, it tells us, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because, why? They, the pastors, keep watch over you as those who must give an account. So again, I'm going to read that again. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who give an account. And so, whom will a pastor give an account for except the members of his own church? That is what is applied in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. He is not responsible for all the Christians in the world. No, only for those who are under his care. And likewise, he's not responsible for all the people, even in his community, only for believers under his leadership, his church members. Another thing that really emphasizes the importance of church membership is, or another important reason for church membership is membership in a local church is a way of voluntarily placing oneself under the spiritual authority of a pastor. Church membership is also important because without it, there can be no accountability. Without being a church member, there can be no church discipline, no one holding you accountable. We've talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 13. It teaches how to deal with someone who is living in blatant, unrepentant sin in the midst of the church. In verses 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the words inside and outside are used in reference to the church body. We can only judge those who are inside the church, that is the church members. Paul says, how can we know who is inside or outside the church without an official membership role? And then another thing is this, church membership is also valuable for organizational purposes. It's valuable for organizational purposes, such as having different ministry teams and different things of that nature. You need to have some type of membership to have some kind of organization, right? And then it's also a good way of determining who is allowed to vote on important church decisions and who is eligible for official church positions. If we did not have church membership, then I'd probably be in jeopardy of being pastor of this church because any and everybody could come in who says they're a Christian and vote me in or vote me out. So it's a good way of determining who is allowed to vote on important church decisions and who is eligible for church positions. And so there is the importance of church membership. Now let's get into the duties of church membership. The duties of church membership. Every Christian has both the responsibility and privilege of partaking and sharing in the spiritual giftedness that God has given the church. Every Christian has been engrafted into the body of Christ, and every Christian then has been personally gifted by the Holy Spirit, Romans 12 verse 6 tells us this, to assist the spiritual growth of the greater body of Christ. Every person that has been saved has been given a spiritual gift, and then through the local church, you are to encourage and admonish one another through the spiritual gift that the Lord has given you. Because the church, as the communion of the saints, is God's official truth bearer, consisting of those who have been sanctified and united together in Christ Jesus, and who regularly assemble to worship God through observing the ordinances and listening to the preached word, the principal duties and privileges of every church member are to maintain unity through maturing and personal corporate holiness by growing in the knowledge of the truth. In other words, the priority of every church member includes at least three things. First of all, unity, purity, and then we'll get to the third one next week. But notice, first of all, unity. Unity. Christian unity is a beautiful thing in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? It is a beautiful thing in the eyes of God. Christian unity is more than just the absence of discord. Christian unity includes warm fellowship. Fellowship that is saturated with love and goodwill. The psalmist said this, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity." There's nothing like collectively worshiping God with a unified heart and mind. And as Jeffrey says here, it is the closest thing to heaven on earth. This unity is established how? By the common fellowship Christians have in Christ Jesus. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 that the church is one body that is united in one spirit. And this unity is deeper than a shared interest, for it is rooted in the spiritual life that all God's people share in Christ Jesus. Alan Stibbs said this, "Christians are not exhorted to create a unity among themselves as though none existed. Rather, they're told to give diligence first to preserve and then give full and mature expression to the Spirit given unity which God has created. Such unity, by its very nature, is fostered and consummated as fellow believers in Christ enjoy and express together their fellowship with the one Lord and in one Spirit." But sadly, as we all know, not all churches experience such unity. We all can think of churches that have gone through various factions and splits and divisions, and we can think about maybe even in our own experience personally, we've gone through such things and you've experienced those things. Sadly, fractions and discord and cliques can abound in churches. And Jeffrey here, he gives at least two reasons why they can and do occur. The first one is this, that within that fellowship, there can be both wheat and tares that have grown up together. That is, the unbelievers are mixed within the membership of the church. And without spiritual regeneration, without them, without folks who have been saved by the grace of God, there is no unity in the Spirit. And I think a lot of times when there are church fusses and church splits and church factions, a lot of times it can be that there are unsaved church members within the fellowship that have rooted themselves in, and there's no peace with God themselves. They have no unity with God themselves. Therefore, they're not going to have any unity or peace with other church members. And so because of wheat and tares growing up in the church, the unbelievers and the believers within the body of a church can lead to and cause factions. The second reason is this that he gives, that even though Christians have a new nature and are united to Christ and to each other, they still struggle, we still struggle with sin. Right? Amen or oh me. Christians can still be prideful. Christians can still say harsh things. Christians can still be hurtful one to another. Christians can hold on to an unforgiving spirit. But listen, wherever unforgiveness and pride reside, unity will always have a difficult time thriving. This is a major reason as to why churches split and divide and suffer these things, because there are many times church members who are filled with pride. They're filled with harshness and hurtfulness in their heart, and they're harboring an unforgiving spirit within themselves. Therefore, because no perfect church exists, every church member is called to fight sin. Every church member is to labor to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I tell you, sometimes it is a labor, is it not? If we're honest, if we're actively involved in the fellowship of our church, it's a labor. We have to work at it. We have to fight sin within our own selves, and we have to labor to continue to maintain the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. It just doesn't come naturally to us. But being that we have been born again and we have a new nature and we do have our spirit has been saved, we do have the power through Jesus Christ and within the power of the Holy Spirit to allow us to continue to maintain the unity of the Spirit within the church. And so there is this thing of unity. Every church member has a priority of maintaining unity. But then also notice, members are to be active and faithful in attendance. Members are to be active and faithful in attendance. Maintaining the unity that God has established begins with active and faithful church membership. For Christ did not design the Christian life to be lived out in isolation and in separation from other members of His spiritual body. We have talked about this many times. God has never called us to be Lone Ranger Christians. Spiritual life and gifts are designed by God to function within the context of the local church. And so being united to Christ, we become united to the other members of the body of Christ. Romans 12:5 tells us this. This means that our own spiritual growth and maturity is interconnected with the spiritual growth and maturity of the body of Christ. Again, Alan Stibbs says this: different members complement one another. They are meant to realize and to enjoy life in Christ together and in the service of one another. He goes on to say, for this reason, as Christians, we can be kept fully fit and grow to maturity and fulfill our divinely intended service only by active cooperation with our fellow Christians. Every member of Christ's body, the church, has his proper and necessary contribution to make to the well-being of the whole. None can be despised or disregarded without damage and loss to the body corporate. If we need the church to function and mature properly, then we need to be active members. We need to be faithful to the functions and life of the church. Joel Beakey says this: an inactive church member is a contradiction in terms. I like that. If we do not cherish the church and view membership as a great privilege, we need to question if we are truly a part of the church. That's worth reading again. An inactive church member is a contradiction in terms. If we do not cherish the church and view membership as a great privilege, we need to question if we are truly a part of the church. Christians are commanded to maintain fellowship with the saints and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And of course, going through this pandemic, we still have those who have not yet rejoined us back in services whatsoever. Some are elderly, and some have a greater risk, you could say. But there are others who are not elderly, others that are not in that high risk category, that still have not been back. And so the question that they are going to have to reconcile within themselves, and even I as a pastor have to come to the point of, okay, at what point do they come back? At what point are they just saying that the pandemic is scaring them away? Because obviously they're doing other things, everything but church. And so that's a very difficult thing, and especially living in the day and times that we're living in right now, where we see what's going on in Canada. I mean, what's going on there it's scary. Really, because here just the other day, another pastor was arrested and taken to jail because, why? He held a church service. And we're seeing more and more of this Christian persecution here in North America. And of course, they're using the virus as an excuse, but it is a grasp for power. And so we're seeing this of our fellow believers who are being persecuted for their faith. This ought to encourage those who are out of church to, hey, I need to get in church. I need to get with my brothers and sisters in Christ and support them. Support them, our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And so he finishes up with this: therefore, when Christians leave a church to worship at home, they are failing to maintain the unity of the Spirit. So this is the duties of church membership, and we'll stop there. Does anybody have any comment or a question that I make an answer? If I don't have an answer, I'll get you an answer as soon as I can. But anybody have any comments about what we talked about this morning? As we think about the unity and the activity of church membership. Yes.
Someone that can just week after week or month after month neglect wanting to go to church, if they don't have that desire, you definitely have a question if they ever had that second birth.
Right. That's right. Yeah, and that's really what Joel Beek said, that an inactive church member is really in a contradiction in terms. And but that's so true. If you've been born again of the Spirit, you're going to have a desire to be with other brothers and sisters in Christ. At some point throughout this pandemic, your faith should supersede your fear. At some point. And that's the question where I as a pastor have to, okay, at what point are they using fear as an excuse? It's not really a fear issue. It's really a faith issue that they don't really care about coming back to church. And it's one thing about the pandemic has done. It has, in a sense, separated really the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares, those who really have a desire to get back. And I'm not saying that this goes for every person. There are some folks that have health issues that they feel, because of these dire health issues, that it's best for them to stay from crowds, and they don't do anything else. But again, at some point, there's going to be an issue of where their faith is going to have to supersede their fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of sound mind. And at some point, that's going to be evident in your life. At some point. So it's a very good thought. Anybody else have any thoughts concerning what we talked about?
Add what you said, fear over faith, or faith over fear. The Hebrews Hall of Fame there, when it goes down the list of those that are in the faith hall of fame, you could say, is some example of them overcoming fear for their faith.
That's right. Absolutely. Very true. All right. Well, let's be dismissed in word of prayer. And then y'all are free to get up and fellowship. And there's some coffee downstairs. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for allowing us just for a few moments to study about the nature of church membership as it relates to your church. Father, I pray that you would help us to maintain and labor in maintaining the unity of the Spirit. Father, help us, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to be led by your Spirit. Father, I pray that we would, as to the best of our ability, be faithful members, regular attenders, knowing that this is truly the only way for us to utilize our spiritual gifts and encourage one another within the local church, the local body. So, Father, we pray that you would bless the things that we have talked about, Lord. Hide these things in our hearts. Lord, I pray for the service that is to come. I pray, Lord, that you would meet with us in a very special way. We thank you, Lord, for everyone. We thank you, Lord, especially this morning for all the mothers. We pray, Lord, a special blessing upon them today. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.